Thank you, Mr. Sterner. Good morning, everybody. On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. I have good news, I have great news, and I have bad news. So is that all right, Nathan? Can I give this to you in this order? So the good news is it's the first Sunday, or it's the first Friday of the month. So that means it's time for the Maryland Morning Movie Mayhem.
That is good news.
That is good news. The great news is that Jed Dietz from the Maryland Film Festival and Hornaday from the Washington Post are both here to talk and to sort of oversee the mayhem.
Great news, although I kind of expect that with the movie Mayhem.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes Jed's...
It's still great,
sometimes
yes.
Jed's, you know, jetting off to some exotic locale, you know, calling in from, you know, all sorts
I
of...
I just want to point out, last time, Miss Hornaday was out of the country.
That's right. She was out of the country.
Barely.
But here's the bad news. Having just announced that Jed Dietz and Ann Hornaday are here, this causes immediate dancing in the streets. Which could lead to traffic congestion. So I'm just trying to, before you
it
leave
is,
your
it
home.
It is kind of wet out there. If you want right. to dance in the rain.
That's right.
Go
dancing
for
in
it.
The rain. Singing in the rain, dancing in the rain. So we're going to talk about some movies this morning. We joke around, but it's a terribly disconcerting, another sad day with this horrible situation in Umpqua Community College in Roseburg, Oregon, the 294th. Mass shooting in the last 274 days.
So
let's talk about the better notions of the human condition, people who do things of great beauty. And the first movie I want to talk about, which is not out quite yet, but it's going to be out in about a week, it's called The Walk. This is a Robert Zemeckis.
So it is out on IMAX screens. So it's at Cinemark and White Marsh, but only on IMAX screens.
Oh, already? Okay.
Yes.
But it's regular theaters next week.
Yes.
Okay, great. So this is a fellow named Philippe Petit, who in the 1970s and 1974 strung a wire between the two towers of the World Trade Center in New York and walked across it. I mean, it's just amazing. There was a documentary, Ann Hornaday, about this. That was directed by James Marsh called Man on Wire. This is a fictional adaptation of this story. For folks who have seen the Man on Wire, how does this compare to the documentary?
Well, Man on Wire, I would qualify as a masterpiece. I mean, it was just an absolutely beautiful piece of nonfiction filmmaking and really sort of transcended just the mere chronicle of the tale to really engage issues of the World Trade Center and the Twin Towers and the loss of that. And Marsh really delicately never hit that head on, but he just sort of made it an elegy and a celebration of that place without ever really explicitly invoking it. This is a more mainstream dramatization by Zemeckis, who's a much more mainstream kind of a guy. It's very much geared toward families. It's got a really lyrical, playful tone. The towers are invoked much more explicitly visually. But it works. I mean, I think the two can exist side by side very, very happily. And the way that he's filmed it in IMAX 3D is spectacular. I mean, he just makes it an immersive spectacle. And once you get up there on that wire with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who plays Petit, I mean, it transcends storytelling to become an experience, a bona fide emotional, physical experience.
You had a very catchy turn of phrase in your review of it in the Washington Post. You called it an overeager pop-up book of a movie.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I mean, I had a few, I wouldn't even say misgivings. I mean, my reservations are really with Zemeckis as a filmmaker. I think he's not subtle. You know, he's not subtle in terms of, he tends to kind of overdo things. But that can be part of the spectacle and part of the fun, and I appreciate that. And that's just an issue of personal taste. But I really do think it provides a lot of audience value.
And Jed, for the only time that I can remember in all the years we've known each other, you sent me the trailer of this movie. You said, you got to check this trailer. It's unbelievable. I mean, I don't think that's ever happened before. So you're pretty psyched up about the trailer.
Yeah, and I agree with everything Ann said about these two films. I mean, I think Man on Wire is really masterful and should be seen alongside The Walk, again, even if you had seen it before. And it won the Academy Award for documentary that year. But I do think what Zemeckis has pulled off is to take this act of, it seems like lunacy to some of us, right? But real artistry coming from an unbelievable commitment to that piece of art. And Zemeckis shows that to you and involves you in it in a way that that no other medium could have done. And I think very few other directors actually could have done the way he's done it. And I think, you know, people came out of the screening we did on Sunday with Tom Rothman from Sony Pictures, who's the head of the studio, who they're releasing it under the TriStar brand. And everybody came out feeling both exhilarated and exhausted. Physically exhausted, yeah. and that's an experience you don't get to have very often, you know. And he's really delivered it to you. I think Philippe did it on the wire when it happened for the people on the street watching, and now Zemeckis has brought that to you in a total gut level way, and it's to see it on the biggest possible screen you can get to in 3D, mm-hmm. because it's the best use of all this technology I've ever seen.
So it is a super techie movie, I would
assume.
Very,
and I agree. And I usually, it's funny because I was at that screening on Sunday, and Tom Rothman, like me, said he's not a big fan of 3D, nor am I. I think it's usually a gimmick, and we can talk about that with the Martian, but in this case, it has been used as a genuine aesthetic element that is additive. You know, that really does provide, I think, aesthetic dimension and again that audience value that makes it worthwhile. Mm-hmm. So
let's talk about the Martian. Mm-hmm. The plot is a guy gets abandoned on Mars,
yeah. right?
And then they have to bring him home.
Yeah, it's very simple. But what's interesting to me about these two movies opening this week is that, like The Walk, it provides this experience. I mean, and I think now with more sort of storytelling migrating to episodic television and all of these great artists, film artists going to TV, what do the movies have left? Well, they have these immersive, spectacular experiences that we often associate kind of with comic book movies and superhero movies, but in the hands of really great storytellers and film technicians, they can just become wonderful. You know, it's like a return to the great values of big Hollywood movie making of yore. In this case, the director is Ridley Scott, whom we associate with Blade Runner and Alien. Those are kind of downbeat, cold visions of the future. But in this case, he's working with Drew Goddard, a screenwriter who's adapted this wonderful novel by Andy Weir that's very lighthearted and again, playful and self-deprecatory while being incredibly worshipful of the science and the grounded science that this is all based on. Matt Damon plays the Martian. He carries the film beautifully as this kind of confident but vulnerable astronaut. And it's just terrific. I mean, the whole thing works just beautifully. And Scott brings that kind of sense of magnificence and those visual that visual grandeur that he's known for, but with the more lighthearted tone, it works beautifully. It's a lot of fun.
And you mentioned in your review in the post that it was an interesting coincidence that NASA appeared to have been, you know, engaged as part of the PR for this movie, because Mars very much in the news,
yeah.
Because it seems that they've discovered water.
That's true. And part of the plot point is how is he going to live, and part of that is creating his own water and his own food. So whether they're working that, I mean, it certainly is an advertising for NASA, but it's one of those sort of old school movies that it's, you know, you could really see kids going to this and becoming turned on to science and maybe wanting to go into space, and like they would go to The Walk and maybe want to try this. I mean, these are really, these are movies that honor process, they honor creativity and resourcefulness, and I just think it's terrific that young people and people of all ages can go to this together and be inspired.
Although we should remind families, you know, when you see The Walk, kids, don't try this at home.
No, yes, exactly. Please don't try that at home. True. But do something, you know, bold and self-expressive of your own.
Right.
It's wonderful.
So Jed Dietz, a couple weeks ago on the 19th of September, Stanley Nelson was in town to talk at length about his new documentary about the Black Panthers. And he was planning basically to camp out in the Charles Theater for most of the day and talk after several of the screenings. In the middle of the 1 o'clock screening, the police evacuated the theater because there were some threats of gun violence posted online. As I understand it, the next day the screenings continued without incident. Let's talk about the movie itself, this documentary about the Black Panthers and Mr. Nelson's contribution.
Yeah. So he has worked very hard on this. He's a wonderful documentary filmmaker who's made a series of just stunning movies, Freedom Summer, Freedom Riders, the Jonestown Massacre film. He's won many awards. This is the first time he's really had a theatrical release, and he's worked very hard to be at theaters and participate in Q&As, which I can tell you from the festival screenings are extraordinary. The Q&As are really fantastic. And both because of this subject matter and because of the this great artist, of Stanley Nelson. So he came in Wednesday night before the weekend. So he did appear at screenings. I went and saw him before the intro. And then he did some others during the weekend. He couldn't do the Sunday ones because he had to go to Philadelphia to do the same thing. But it won the weekend, you know, and gross box office was the biggest thing at the Charles that weekend. And it's, you know, any chance you get to see it, I would say go.
And it's still at the Charles. So yes, folks do have a chance to check it out. How about a movie called Prophets Pray? This is a documentary. It's narrated by a guy named Nick Cave. And this is about the fundamentalist Church of the Latter-day Saints, mm-hmm, and the person who's the head of that. What's this movie about?
Yeah, this is a really gripping investigative piece of investigative filmmaking, looking into how this, I would call him a cult leader named Warren Jeffs, manipulated this community and proceeded to just abuse his power unspeakably. And it's, you know, it's Jed and I just attended the opening night of an investigative film symposium and film series and conference that's happening in D.C. right now about the intersection of investigative journalism and filmmaking. And this is one of the prime examples of how these two forms are coming together to do really, really important expository work. It's riveting filmmaking.
Mm-hmm. And you're a fan as well, Jed?
Oh, very much so. It was at the festival this year and started its run, its life as a film at Sundance. It marketed life. And it gets you inside the head of a messianic guy, and you can see the damage that can be done in the name of very good things in religion. And it's a mutant of the Church of Latter-day Saints, and you can see how damaging that can be. In politics or in religion, but the filmmaking, I mean, the access that they get, they're footage of him in jail. He's in federal prison, will stay there for the rest of his life, and you know, interviews of people who were in the cult and have gotten out. I mean, it's really a revelatory film.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about one that you've seen as well, called Sleeping with Other People. It opens tomorrow at the Charles, directed by Leslie Headland, who is a native of Maryland.
Yep, and she directed The Bachelorette. This also was at Sundance this year. You know, it's got Alison Brie and Jason Sudeikis. It's about two sex addicts, and that sort of sums up what you should expect going in. It's reaching for outrageousness, and if that's the kind of humor that you find wonderful or you like those actors, it's something you should see.
There you go. And again, kids, don't try this at home. How about the movie, the new movie that's currently at the Charles with, when I say new, it's the new Lily Tomlin movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Grandma, and I guess this was written for her.
Yes.
I mean, the director, Paul Weitz, who did About a Boy and stuff like that, just basically, I read an article that said that his audience in this was an audience of one. He wanted Lily Tomlin to do this movie. But does it succeed?
Oh, I thought it succeeded just beautifully. And it's, for one thing, it's a chance to see her. You know, most of us remember her as a comedian, but then we were also sort of ambushed when she turned out to be a really gifted dramatic actress in Nashville, you know, in her work with Robert Altman over the years. And this is a return to that. You know, it's a dramatic role with a lot of comic touches, but just what a great character actress she is. But the kind of the galvanizing moment in the movie, it's about a grandmother and a granddaughter, and it's kind of a day in the life while they search for, I don't want to give too much away, but they're on kind of a little mini road trip through L.A. that involves the grandmother character revisiting a lot of her old friends and associates. And one of them is played by Sam Elliott in this absolutely electrifying scene that the two of them have. There's just this perfect little chamber piece. I mean, if it's just for that scene, it's worth going to see this movie just to see these two people relate to one another and act beautifully.
I love Grace and Frankie, too, on Netflix. It's the vehicle now with Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda.
Yeah.
And it's a great setup. You know, their husbands are law partners, and they end up being lovers, and then the two of them are thrown together. They're just, you know, she's a terrific
artist. She is a treasure. She's just a treasure.
Yeah, good for her. You also wrote a very kind review to about The Intern, which
yes.
is also at the Landmark. Mr. De Niro now,
yeah.
is, I don't know how old he is, but... it's quite something. So, you know, we'll give him a
good
little
nod. Good old Bob. I mean, it's Bob in a cuddly teddy bear. You know, he's kind of morphed into this teddy bear character, and it's a very appealing, surprising little movie. Not perfect by any stretch, but there's a lot to value there.
And it really underscores what a really terrific actress Anne Hathaway is,
true.
Too.
Yeah.
So plenty of stuff to see while the deluge arrives.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Jed Dietz, Anne Hornaday, always a pleasure. We'll see you next month.
Thanks so much.
We'll have a link to all the stuff going on at the Maryland Film Festival and a link to the Anne Hornaday's essays in the Washington Post at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Lots more coming up. Stick around.